So if we recall, last week we had that great feast of the Transfiguration, which took the place of our regular Sunday readings and celebration. The first part of our gospel today said after he fed the multitudes, which points back to what the gospel would have been last week if it had been not had been the Transfiguration, a great multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, where just a little bit of food, Jesus was able to satisfy the hunger for thousands and thousands, and more left over than when they began. This great working of the miracle, a foreshadow of the Eucharistic miracle that was to come, that's made present on the altar every day at the sacrifice of the Mass. So then we move to today. Another great miracle involving the overpowering of nature, where Jesus is walking on the water and Peter desiring to do the same. But if we go back to last week's gospel, do we remember how it ended? What were the words of the Father from heaven? What did he tell Peter, James, and John? This is my beloved son. Listen to him. This great invitation, this great commandment. And so it was a good point of reflection. Like, who are we listening to? What are we listening to? To whom and to what do we give our attention? Are we able to hear the voice of God? Because that can be the bridge to the readings today. Especially in the first reading and in the gospel. Being able to hear the voice of God. That first reading with the prophet Elijah. And to put it in context, this is a time of the split kingdoms. Israel are the 10 tribes to the north. Judah, the 2 tribes to the south. Elijah is a southern prophet from Judah. The king of the time is Ahaz. We can just say he's not a very good leader, not a very good king, unfaithful, erecting altars to the idols, selling himself over, so afraid of the impending attacks of the foreign armies that he is making deals with foreign nations, denying the privileged place that he has as the leader of the chosen people. There's all types of turmoil going on. And just before this, Elijah, the only prophet remaining, is in a battle with all of the pagan prophets, 450 prophets, I think. He ended up slaughtering all of them. Ahaz's wife, Bathsheba, another less than desirable character in the scriptures, demands that Elijah be killed. So he's on the run. He goes out into the desert and says, "Why is this happening to me, Lord? Just kill me. It's better for me to be dead than to have to live my life on the run." The Lord says, "Get up and eat, and then go to the mountain." He said, "Why are you here?" the Lord says. "Go to the mountain and you will see me. You will find me." And this is what happens in the gospel today. This encountering of Elijah, one of the characters who was on the top of the mountain last week at the Transfiguration, the very same mountain. But last week he saw the deified Jesus. In our passage today, what did he see? He hid his face in the presence of God. Aware of the magnificence, the glory of God's presence in its midst, he hid his face in his cloak. Afraid to look upon God. Because it was known that anyone who saw the face of God would die. So he hid his face, and he encountered God in that still, small voice. Not in the chaos, not in the loud, fantastic events going on, but in the still, small voice. We may know this, but Mother Church expects there to be silence at various times throughout the Holy Mass. In the Missal, the book we use on the altar, the book we have of the prayers, the first part are the general instructions telling us how to celebrate Mass. And there are moments in there where it says, pause for sacred silence. We've already had three of those moments, actually, because the church expects there to be silence in the church before the Mass begins. That's what the instructions say. In the church, in the rooms where we get vested, in the rooms where we prepare for Mass, and even in the surrounding areas, Mother Church expects there to be silence. Then after the priest says, let's call to mind our sins, we call for silence. After the priest says, let us pray before the opening prayer, silence. After the readings, after the homily, silence. So we can hear that still small voice. I've heard from many people, longtime parishioners and just passing through guests, about how different it is here at Holy Family compared to some other parishes, local and far away, about the silent reverence that we keep here at Mass. Because we're listening for God's voice in the prayers, in the music, in the preaching, but in the silence of our heart. This is where we encounter the Lord. There was lots of turmoil going on around Elijah at that moment, yet he was still able to hear the voice. St. Peter was in the midst of a storm, but was still able to hear the voice of Jesus. So outside of the sacrifice of the Mass, do you intentionally cultivate silence in your life? Do you turn off whatever noise is in your house when you're driving, when you're walking, when you're exercising? Do you take advantage of those moments that in the midst of chaos in the world, that perhaps God is wanting to talk to you in that very moment? Or do we just allow his voice to be drowned out? The Greek word that described the storm that Peter was in said the boat was being tortured by the wind. It wasn't just a breeze blowing, maybe even like a hurricane that we're used to, or the great windstorms that come through sometimes, the nor'easters that make so much noise. Yet still, he was able to hear that voice. Are we able? And do we have the courage that Peter had? The courage to step out and to walk towards the Lord simply because Jesus said, come. This calling, this vocation, that's where we get that word vocation. It means to be called. Jesus called Peter out of the boat and he went with just one word, because he was able to hear the voice. How many of us are stuck because we're waiting for our sign, or we're waiting for one more indication, because there's so much chaos in our lives that we don't have the courage and the confidence and that still small voice speaking to the silence, to the depths of our heart. In one sense, we can say that our celebration of the Mass is practice. In a real sense, it's practice for our time in heaven. Because this is a physical, earthly happening of what's going on in heaven right now. As the Son gives himself to the Father, as the Son is interceding for us in front of the Father on our behalf, that's what takes place here. But it's also practice for us, our lives out there. As we gather the things of our lives and we are presenting ourselves to the Father, that the things that we bring to offer to the Father are out there in the world amidst the chaos, amidst the confusion, amidst the noise and the sadness and the disappointments and the anxieties and the fears and all those things that are trying to choke out the voice of the Lord, as we heard a few weeks ago in the parables of the seed and the sower. All those competitions for our attention. But the still small voice of the Lord remains. Last week, the Father told us to listen to Jesus. In the quiet of our hearts, let us listen. And it's the same word he gave to Peter, he gives to each one of us. Simply come. We pray for that courage to respond with enthusiastic joy wherever the Lord calls us. Jesus is speaking to you today. Can you hear his voice?